Good morning. I'd like to call the 1,381st meeting of the Board of Directors to order. As I call the meeting to order, I'd like to take a moment to make a special introduction. Since the day we arrived at Metro, Richard Sauls has been our champion of safety, as well as a member, a general manager, and CEO. I would like to introduce Ms. Janet Fretcher, and in just a moment, she has a presentation for us. In partnership with the board, Richard has made strategic investments to improve the safety of our equipment and infrastructure. He has embraced the recommendations of oversight agencies and worked in a focused and deliberate way to ensure those recommendations were implemented. He has listened to the employees and responded with the training and tools they need to work safely. And he has led by example, putting safety first in setting priorities for his executive team and for the entire organization. As Richard says frequently, there is always room for improvement, and our greatest enemy is complacency. But today we have an opportunity to pause and to recognize the progress we have made and the leader who has helped us move Metro forward. I'm pleased to introduce Janet Fretcher, who has served since 2008 as president and CEO of the National Safety Council, where she leads the organization's efforts to save lives by preventing injuries and deaths at work, in homes and in communities and on the roads. An extraordinary advocate for safety, Ms. Fretcher has been a civic leader for more than two decades, as well as an entrepreneur and corporate finance executive. She has been named by Crain's Businesses as one of Chicago's most influential women. As a Virginian, I'm proud to note that I'm proud to say that she did her undergraduate work at the University of Virginia, where she earned her bachelor's degree with high distinction. It is indeed a pleasure to have her travel from Chicago to be here with us today to present a well-deserved honor to our general manager and CEO, Richard Sauls. Thank you and welcome, Ms. Fretcher.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be able to celebrate something today and appreciate the opportunity to spend just a few minutes with you. Wanted to just share our perspective on why we are so focused on saving lives and preventing injuries and why we're so pleased to be able to present an award, which we call the CEOs Who Get It, to Richard Sauls. You're very fortunate, as I think you know, to have him leading the effort here, in particular leading your safety effort. So I won't spend a lot of time, but I wanted you to understand the perspective that we look at safety from. Our organization, the National Safety Council, is 100 years old. We celebrate our 100-year anniversary this year. And we were created as a means for employers to come together, to learn from each other, to challenge each other, to improve safety. We were formed right after the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, when injuries and fatalities were very common in our workplaces. And these leaders felt that the high rate of injuries and fatalities in our workplaces didn't have to be part of the cost of doing business, and that they can and should do better. So over the course of the century, we've reduced as a population our fatalities in half. Fatality rate now is half of what it was 100 years ago, and we've made a great deal of progress. Our organization has been focused for all that time on workplace safety, but as I think many of you know, the majority of our workers are actually killed on our roads. So for many years, we've also been focused on highway safety. You might know our organization from Click It or Ticket. We were the folks that created Click It or Ticket. And a few years ago, thanks to the leadership of Jim Doherty and others like him, we began to notice that a large number of crashes were being caused by distraction. And in particular, it became clear that the number one cause of our motor vehicle crashes were distraction, and the number one distraction was the use of cell phones and texting devices. So we became the first national organization to call for bans on cell phones and texting devices on our roadways. I think you've seen we've made quite a bit of progress in educating the public and our employers. We're also very involved in a lot of issues that take place at the home, because as you may know, our workers are much more likely to be killed when they leave our workplaces than when they're in our workplaces. So we partner quite a bit with our employers on teen driving, and in particular, most recently, the overdose of prescription painkillers, which in many states is beginning to eclipse motor vehicle crashes as the number one cause of unintentional injuries and fatalities. Our history is in workplace safety, and we are privileged to have spent many years studying what it is that makes for great safety performance within companies. We call it a journey because even if you're the best, you sometimes have to work even harder to stay the best. And every organization that's safe, that is serious about safety knows that it's a journey to safety excellence. When we look at what it takes to make a strong safety organization, it comes down to a few key things. The first is you've got to have the leadership at the top. It is virtually impossible to build a strong safety performance without the leadership at the top. And you've got to have the engagement of all your employees so they all feel accountable for safety and for each other's safety. You've got to have strong safety management systems. You've got to have an ability to identify and address risks. You've got to be able to measure. So we began a few years ago offering a very narrow set of leaders an award called CEOs Who Get It, because we wanted other CEOs to be able to see what it looked like to have the strong support at the top, leading safety performance within an organization. We create recognition because it gives other companies something to look at and to see what success looks like so they can build it into their own organizations. So every year we choose just a few CEOs and we profile them to be able to show others what success looks like. This year we're very pleased to honor your general manager and CEO, Richard Sarles, as one of our CEOs Who Get It. And we chose him because he is so completely committed to safety and so relentless in the pursuit of safety. I think you know we've made a number of hires in safety, including someone like Jim Doherty, who's very well known within the industry, very active within the industry in terms of safety, very dedicated to training and to systems, and in the last 3 years consistently, you've shown significant progress. I think all of you would acknowledge that no matter where you are, you have a need for continued improvement, and that the road in front of you is always sometimes more difficult than the road behind you. So we wish you enormous success in your journey ahead, but thought it was appropriate to take the time right now and to recognize the progress that you've made and the deep commitment that you have in your leadership. So we have, you're actually the cover of our magazine. We publish Safety Health magazine, a very exciting magazine, but it is the premier magazine in the safety industry. So you have a cover boy in your midst. And it's my pleasure to present this award to your CEO and general manager, Richard Sarles.
I am going to be on the record. It happens to be for CEOs, but it's really for this whole organization. From the board's leadership, which without that we wouldn't get anywhere, the lineup of the executive leadership team here, the operations, Dave Kubitschek, Jack Requa, Jim Doherty from safety, the chief, who some people don't remember, but was the acting safety officer in a difficult period to bring us through the organization, our general counsel, our deputy general manager for administration, Helen Liu, IG, keeps an eye on us in all this, Barbara Richardson, chief of staff, and the rest of the organization, ELT. And every employee here who thinks about safety, wants to do a good job, and reports when they don't feel it's safe, so it gets corrected. Without that kind of commitment on part of all our staff, we wouldn't improve our safety. We have a long journey ahead of us. We got to keep at it. But this is what we have to do, and I thank you so much for this award. I never in my life thought I'd be a cover boy, but I guess I am now.
But you see, if you listen, the way he spoke, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like when you got a CEO that gets it. The way they look at their leadership team and engage their leadership and the top leaders and the individuals in the organization. So that's what it sounds like and what it looks like, and that's what we're trying to get other organizations to be able to appreciate. Congratulations to all of you, and congratulations to you.
Well, we'll add one more title, a cover boy, to it. This is an exceptional recognition for General Manager Sauls, as well as the authority. And we're really fortunate, extremely fortunate to have him here. And thank you very much, Ms. Fetcher, for coming and taking the time, and also for the, making the award. Thanks very much. With that, we will start with the approval of the agenda. And I would like to make two corrections on the printed agenda. One, we were not certifying because we did not do executive session, as was earlier planned. And our elections will be part of the governance report. Are there any objections? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
And the, those against? All right, approved. Thank you. Next, the item of the approval of the minutes from December 20th.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Downs. Second by Mr. Giancola. Any questions, discussions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. I'm seeing someone in the audience. We have no names for public comment, but the new director of the Council of Governments is here, and I would like Mr. Beck to please stand up and be recognized. And we welcome you and congratulate you on your new journey. And as we've talked about, WMATA and COG are really together in this journey that we have in making our region the best region. And COG really serves, and we're great partners and glad to have you in the office. And thank you for stopping by today. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is the report of the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Mr. Sheehan, is Mr. Sheehan giving a report today? He is not present. We have a report in our materials, and we will reference that. The report of the Writers Advisory Council, and we're pleased to recognize the new chair of the Writers Advisory, Mr. Ball. Mr. Ball, thank you very much.
Thank you. Chair Hudgens, members of the board, my name is Ben Ball, and in January I was elected as chair of the Metro Writers Advisory Council. This is my second year on the RAC, where I proudly represent the District of Columbia. As we all know, Metro is in the process of addressing its past while at the same time building its future. Track work, increasing fares, realignment of bus routes, all of these are required for Metro to once again take its position as one of our country's premier transit systems. Riders know this and have proven extremely patient because they realize that in the long term they will benefit. And yet riders are still caught in the middle. Many have abandoned Metro Rail on the weekends when unrelenting track work wreaks havoc on schedules and routines. Others have crunched the numbers and discovered that driving their cars into work makes better economic sense than a daily bus ride. Still more have left a system that they feel is inconvenient, untrustworthy, or even unsafe. The cost of bringing Metro back is significant, and riders feel it in their wallets, in opportunities missed, in the very geography of where they choose to live and work. Yet as we work together to bring Metro forward, I want to remind the board and Metro staff that transit riders desperately want them to succeed. We are on Metro's side. Metro is a critical part of who we are and what we do. All we ask is that in everything you do, every decision you make, every budget you approve, Every idea you release into the public realm, you think of riders first. That's where the RAC stands ready to help. We're here to advocate for the interests of riders from the ground up, and also to provide rider feedback on ideas that come from the top down. The RAC is working to fulfill its mission more efficiently and effectively. Through our new committee structure, we'll cover more ground. With some procedural enhancements, we hope to improve the quality of the feedback we provide. And in the coming year, we hope to broaden our interaction with the riding public so we can better reflect and respond to their views. Over the coming year, the RAC hopes to work with the board and WMATA staff on improving the rider experience, promoting communication with the riding public, and laying the groundwork for a customer-oriented transit system that will be enjoyed for decades to come. Thank you all once again for your service to the region's transit consumers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ball. Let me say that we really appreciate the work that the Advisory Council has been doing, and most importantly, the relationship that we've created with the board. So we look forward, as we begin our new year, and you with yours, and the work plans that we both have, to ensure that we're going to be working hand-in-hand and having a follow-through in terms of those quarterly meetings and other opportunities to work with you. Congratulations, and thanks very much.
All right. I appreciate that. We're here for you.
Thank you. The next item is report from the chair, and I'd like to take this moment today to just extend my comments. Generally, I have very little that I have to say because we do our work in committee, and we get a lot said and done. But as I start this morning, I want to bring you greetings and note that it's a chilly day, but I think around here in Metro, things are going quite well, and we should have warm hearts. As today's agenda reflects, the WMATA board will elect new leadership for the next coming year. And while there may be a change in the person, I feel certain that our recent accomplishments are institutional, and they will continue to make the board and the authority stronger, better focused, more efficient in delivering transit service to the region. This is no small feat by any measure, and I congratulate everyone that's involved in it. One individual whose involvement has proven critical is Richard Searles. Needless to say, I have enjoyed the opportunity to work with Mr. Searles, and it's such an understanding leader. Mr. Searles and his leadership team have made substantial progress in making WMATA a well-organized, organization, respected by our customers, appreciated by our stakeholders, and acknowledged by the industry peers as we see today. Under Mr. Searles' leadership, WMATA is a safer, more efficient organization, and the customers are on the path to seeing a rebuilding that recalls the original Metro system. His ability to work closely with all our employees has created an atmosphere of not only helping to deliver the best service to our customers, but employees who better understand WMATA's mission and who recognize WMATA's success is their success. They know the importance of safety. They trust their leadership and the peers. They are committed to delivering the service. For the agenda of the board has been a very busy and complex one. The board has tackled many, many new tasks over the past 2 years. We have tackled the governance issue. We are a better, I think, stronger organization by the manner in which we govern. We have just completed this morning a very, I think, outstanding discussion on strategic planning. And on the form of strategic planning, it is the ongoing work that we will do with that plan rather than just what we talked about today. The transparency and accountability is very important, the work that we do. I want to congratulate the board members for their boldness to tackle the issue of transparency and uncompromising ethical standards. The Cadwalader report ensures that this board will always be seen as being bold enough to tackle and assess itself on tough tasks, as well as providing us innovative transit services. Those services also speak to the places where we're gone. Over the last year, we could go through a lot of enumerations of things that have happened in the system, but some are closer to others than other issues. improve coordination with LaMotta and the local jurisdiction transit service is very important, and we've talked about that as how we need to work together in order for LaMotta's transit system to be the region's transit system with all of the other agencies that we work with. Expanded accessibility services for those in the accessibility community is very important because this service is very much a critical service for them. The increased social media and the ability to deliver Metro's message is one that we have brought to the mainstream of what we do, and we will need to grow upon. Using Metro alerts, it's a couple of years ago, no one thought about the fact that you could actually figure out where we were. We've begun, I think, on a new path, as we said this morning, of communicating with our customers in a way that they can feel secure that we can deliver the services to them and keep them attuned as how best that we do it. And we've restored the enthusiasm of what this system was in the beginning on our rebuilding effort and the investment that we're making on that capital rebuilding. Looking forward, the multi-year budget and its business planning is to continue to engage our, is important in engaging our customers as well as building the kind of systems that we need for the kind of sustainability and funding that we will need. Establishing LaMotta as a voice of transit in the region. We had the discussion this morning how important it is to make the case of why LaMotta is important. And if that is the case, that it is important, we here at the LaMotta Board and in the authority must be the one to make that voice heard. LaMotta is turning the corner, and it is absolutely emerging as a stronger, revitalized regional organization. With input from the Riders Advisory Council, the Accessibility Committee Advisory, new vitality and innovation is infusing LaMotta, and I would like to thank all of those who worked toward that. The work that the board has done is appreciated and respected by these organizations. I feel certain that the succeeding boards will continue to build upon work we have started here. And in closing, I would remind us LaMotta works best as work has been marked upon by some of the outstanding acknowledgments. I look to the 2012 APTA Innovation Award for the Deputy Assistant General Manager of Accessibility Services. We have focused on accessibility services, and to be recognized for the importance of that has been important. And again, this morning's recognition to the CEO, I think, stands out. It has been an honor for me to have the opportunity to serve as chair. Plus, there's been a lot of hard work done, and there has been a lot of fun that we've had. I think we have built, hopefully, a very collaborative board in getting the work done. As I step down, I would like to challenge us to work toward the goal of our sustainability of funding. We have many things that we've accomplished. There's one that stands out, and that one, I think, will be the challenge of the future, not just in the next year, but through the next decades. So with that, I want to thank all of you for the work that you've been able to do here at the board, and my opportunity have to do that work with you. So thank you very much, and I appreciate that as we move forward. Moving on with that, the next item on the agenda is the report from the General Manager and CEO.
Good morning. I'll begin my remarks today by thanking our customers, the board, our congressional delegation, my executive team, and all of our employees for your support and hard work moving Metro forward since I became general manager and CEO. Thanks to the continuing leadership and investments from our stakeholders, the board's good governance, the dedication of our employees, and the patronage and forbearance of our customers, as we rebuild, Metro is today safer, increasingly more reliable, and more financially stable. We have made steady progress, and over the last 3 years have improved the delivery of our on-time service, the reliability of escalators and vehicles, and reduced employee and customer injuries. There's still a long road ahead to dig ourselves out of the hole created by years of disinvestment in the system and a great deal of work to restore the system to a state of good repair. But I want to take a moment to review a few highlights of 2012 and talk about the challenges that will require continued momentum to address. You know, the engineer in me is inspired by the nuts and bolts work we did last year to rebuild this system. For example, we installed 12 miles of rail, 46,000 fasteners, replaced 19,000 railroad ties and over 1,000 flash butt welds to further improve track work. The father and grandfather in me is equally as inspired by the people who work here and have made a difference. I ride Metro 5 or 6 days a week, and I talk with employees along the way. But last year, I began to have employee town hall meetings where we gathered about 150 employees at a time to discuss our priorities. And what I heard was not concern for themselves, but rather concern about safety, about funding, about rebuilding. Our employees were seeking reassurance that we would continue what we started. And I'm heartened by their commitment, hard work, and their attitude about making a difference here. I tell them that safety must always be first for us, and we will continue to combat complacency as we advance our safety goals. As I said before, I am very proud today to be recognized as a CEO who gets it by the National Safety Council. And the fact that Janet traveled here from Chicago to present this in person is a great honor. I'm deeply grateful and humbled by this recognition. But I have to say this award really reflects the work our employees have been doing over the last 2 years. From the Chief Safety Officer and Deputy General Manager of Operations, the AGMs for bus and metro access, the superintendents in the field, and the train and bus operators and mechanics who have rededicated themselves to safety. This progress is also supported by the facts. Employee and customer injury rates are down for a third consecutive year. In fact, employee injury rates dropped 5% through November as compared to the prior year. And customer injury rates decreased from 1.8% in 2011 to 1.7% in 2012. I was very pleased to receive the FDA's follow-up safety audit in 2012, which concluded that, quote, WMATA has made considerable progress in strengthening its safety organization, safety analysis capabilities, and information sharing and communications processes regarding safety issues. Importantly, we have closed all the FDA recommendations from 2010, and are well underway with all 6 recommendations made in 2012. Metro also completed 7 NTSB recommendations, as well as 13 that have been submitted for consideration of closure. Some of the notable progress includes the mainline guarded number 8s program, loss of shunt project, and the advancement of the 7,000 series rail cars to the hard mock-up or full-scale model stage. With respect to customer service, I could not have been more proud of our team than I was on Inauguration Day. Their dedication and commitment to our customers was on display in our stations, on our trains and buses, in the control centers, maintenance yards, and back shops. It was all hands on deck. The work for Monday began months ago to prepare equipment, staff, and even customers themselves. It was an honor for us to welcome visitors from across the country and the world. And it was a delight to learn that our commemorative Smart Trip cards had become the Got to Have It souvenir. All of this was possible because so many employees gave so much of themselves. I want to say thank you to all of them, but I want to especially recognize the leadership of Lynn Bowersox, our AGM of Customer Service Communications and Marketing, who led the cross-departmental planning effort for months leading up to the event. I would also like to give special thanks to our commander for the day. From opening to close, David Kubitschek, Deputy General Manager for Operations. The commitment to delivering better service continued in 2012. The on-time reliability of our trains improved from 90.1% in 2011 to 90.9% last year, thanks to proactive management, decreasing door issues, and the end of midday track work. Bus reliability increased to more than 76% last year as service adjustments were implemented. Vehicle performance improved, and managers adjusted service delivery in real time. When customers told us they wanted more real-time information about service outside the fare gates, we installed new flat screens in 110 station entrances that display service updates by line, real-time news about delays, customer advisories, and other service messages, as well as the time. We upgraded the public address systems in half the rail stations to improve customer information delivery. Escalator availability improved by 5% as staff completed preventive maintenance on schedule, prioritized work, and modernized aging units. Last year, we also invested in service improvements for bus customers with 2 new Metro Extra services and enhanced service on 10 additional bus lines. We saved customers time who called us for information as the on-hold time in our call center decreased from about a minute and a half to just 25 seconds on average. We also add smart trip dispensers in all stations for the convenience of our customers. We offer new features to manage accounts online, including auto load that resulted in online accounts doubling last year to about 490,000. The Metro Ford Capital Program achieved key milestones, including the replacement of three escalators at DuPont Circle and the opening of Shepherd Parkway, Metro's first new bus garage in 30 years. We also took delivery of a new track geometry vehicle, which gives us the latest technology to perform track inspections using ultrasound testing for defect detection in the running rail, thermal imaging to detect hotspots in the systems, and infrastructure and the infrastructure side of the railroad, which is not visible to the naked eye and prevents delays. It also enables geometric measuring of the track in real time so that we can compare actual to design specifications, ensuring that we maintain our standards. While we're doing more and doing better, we're doing it more efficiently. We have delivered a small budget surplus for two consecutive years that enable us to reduce the amount of increased support requested from jurisdictions. We're advancing new business models for contract services and squeezing our administrative processes to ensure we spend every dollar effectively. For example, we managed a successful hedging strategy, locking in 75% of our diesel fuel consumption well below budget. We negotiated $160,000 in savings on bank fees. We automated parking lots, which saves $3.5 million. Our program to encourage the use of smart trip cards resulted in a 30% drop in paper media usage and a 10% increase in station smart trip sales. We improved business systems to better leverage our data to inform business decisions around safety planning and operational performance. We also refined eligibility and travel training initiatives, which encourage use of bus and rail, and resulted in a 10.8% reduction in access ridership for FY 2011, the second year in a row of cost reduction, while winning the 2012 APTA Innovation Award for Innovations in Paratransit Demand Management. The most important measures of progress are in the feedback from our customers and our employees. We have surveyed both recently, and our employees told us that they now know how to report safety issues. They no longer fear retaliation for reporting safety issues, and they feel they have the training to do their job safely. It's not perfect, but it is progress. In our customer satisfaction survey launched just this year, 84% of those surveyed indicated high satisfaction with bus service, and 80% said they were highly satisfied with rail service. The Metro system has long been known for security and cleanliness, and that remains true, with 87% of bus and 86% of rail riders saying they were highly satisfied with security, and 73% of rail riders saying they were highly satisfied with station cleanliness, one of the highest scores among large transit agencies. We also heard clearly that there is much work to do. We are committed to continuing the momentum we have developed over the last few years and building a better experience for today's customers and for future generations. For continual improvement, we have a comprehensive customer service action plan, which is informed by our mystery rider reporting, and the plan's success is monitored and measured through customer satisfaction research. I talked earlier about my perspective as an engineer and as a grandfather. Let me end today by looking at our future from another perspective. The planner in me became very excited in 2012 by the prospect of preparing for the next generation of Metro. At the Washington Post Live Forum, Bob Thompson, otherwise known as Dr. Ridlock, said that looking back, it's amazing Metro ever got built, referring to the Herculean coordination, multi-jurisdictional, and funding efforts that were required. I agree. And thanks to the board's leadership to develop a strategic plan, we now have a chance to do for the next generation what those mothers and fathers of Metro did in the 1960s and 70s, and more recently with the Silver Line. So here's the question for us. Will future riders and stewards of the system be equally amazed at our resolve? I look forward to continuing this conversation in 2013 as we continue to rebuild the system to get it back to where it should have been all along, and as we work closely with the board and our stakeholders to determine the right priorities and investments to keep the region moving as part of our momentum strategic planning. And I just wanted to comment Kathy Hudgens completes her chairmanship of WMATA for the last 2 years about how wonderful it has been to serve under her leadership. I think I speak for the entire executive leadership team to say that your leadership during this very turbulent transitional time has been extraordinary. Your persistence, Your dedication, your wisdom has all led us and inspired us as we go forward here at Washington Metro.
Thank you very much. Richard, and thank you for that word.
Thank you. It's now my privilege to introduce our employee spotlight. On Sunday, December 9th, 2012, at approximately 5:40 p.m., Metro bus operator Reginald Dunlap, who has been with Metro since 2006, pulled up to a bus stop on the D2 route, as he normally does when he stops along Minnesota Avenue in southeast Washington. However, on this day, when he opened the bus door, he witnessed a young couple arguing and could tell something was wrong. The woman, who was holding a toddler, turned away from the man and attempted to board the bus. The man suddenly pulled out a gun and began firing shots at her. The young woman fell to the floor while still holding the toddler. Although Mr. Dunlap was grazed by a bullet himself, he managed to shut the door of the bus and drive away from the hail of gunfire to a safe location where he and the passengers were met by Metropolitan Police and medical personnel. Mr. Dunlap's quick thinking helped avoid an even greater tragedy that day as he protected the passengers on his bus. Unfortunately, the woman's injuries were fatal, and the toddler was seriously injured and is being cared for by family members. As Mr. Dunlap continues to heal from this traumatic event himself, we salute him for his heroic actions and offer him our deepest appreciation and gratitude for saving the lives of so many other passengers aboard the bus on that terrible day. Mr. Dunlap. My remarks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Searles. Thank you very much, Mr. Dunlap. The board appreciates your dedication and the manner in which you deliver the services and your thinking about your customers and the people in the region. Thank you very much. Good luck on your healing. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the report from the Governor's Committee, and I'll call on Mr. Barnes.
Madam Chair, the first item the Governance Committee would bring before the board is approval of a new board travel policy. As my colleagues are aware, the board has not had a formal policy of this type, and I would move the adoption of the travel policy, which was the subject of extensive consideration in committee. And in so moving, I would want to thank Mrs. Hines particularly for a lot of time and effort working with me and with members of the staff. And I want to thank all the members of the staff who worked very hard in developing this and the other items that I'm bringing before the board today. So I would move approval of the board travel policy.
Moved by Mr. Barnes. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Dye. Mr. Giancola, I didn't hear that voice. I'm sorry. Okay. Any questions, discussions on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you very much for the work, Mr. Barnes. Next item.
Next item the committee has for approval of the board is amendments to our existing bylaws and procedures. Again, the committee, working with staff, and again, Mrs. Hines very heavily involved, spent a great deal of time reviewing our bylaws and procedures, amending them, and we bring these before the board for your consideration, and I would move approval.
Moved by Mr. Barnes, and second by Mr. Dyke. Discussion? Well, I want to just call out, that, as Mr. Barnes said, the work they've done, because this is a very important part of what we have been trying to do and ensuring that our bylaws and procedures are up to date. And Ms. Hines, thank you, as Mr. Barnes has said, for working so collaboratively and getting us this far. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And any opposition? The next item is the election of chair and the other leadership. At this time, I would have recognized Mr. Morton Downey for a motion.
Madam Chair, I would like to nominate Tom Downs, District Columbia, the chair. I look forward to working with him as we have the past 30 years. 35 in various categories. This is a real opportunity to move and coordinate along the same way.
Thank you. Second?
Madam Chair, I'm honored to second the nomination of Mr. Tom Downs. Ms. Bowser concurs with this nomination as chair. I'm honored also to mention that I've known Tom almost as long as 35 years, as Mort pointed out, and as a resident of Ward 4, as I am and my wife, we're honored to have him serve as our next chair of this great board. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. The motion is made. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
All right.
And opposed. With that, Mr. Downs, I will turn the gavel over to you. That's the completion of that. That work is done.
The next item would be a motion from
Mr. Chairman
or Vice Chair.
Excuse me.
May I ask you to turn your mic on, please?
Oh.
Thank you.
Barnes, in order to keep you two gentlemen working together for another 35 years, I'm going to nominate Mr. Downey to be first Vice Chair of the Board of WMATA.
A motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? I would like to take the opportunity myself to nominate Mr. Nichols, who, although absent, has agreed to serve, if nominated, as the second vice chair of the board.
Second.
A motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you. That concludes that item of business. And before we leave, without due recognition, although Kathy has given me the gavel, I want to take the opportunity on behalf of the board to give her a permanent gavel. It's a presentation that in some small way reflects the gratitude that has already been voiced about your leadership in the last 2 years. As the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Board of Directors expresses its appreciation far beyond that to Catherine Hugh Hudgens for her service as chair, Board of Directors 2011 to 2012. So on behalf of
And I want to say on behalf of the board that
And the last item on the agenda is the report by jurisdictions. The District of Columbia has nothing to report. WSTC?
Nothing.
NBTC? And the federal government?
Both.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Adjourn. Thank you.